I mean, the candles, the zombie takeout, the sexy dress. What's going on here?
What's up? Welcome to episode 110 of Zombie
Zombie
Taken,
Takeout.
the B movie and cult movie podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie and a last minute
Program
subs
change.
a last minute substitution, we have some listener submitted. This is from Joni on Facebook in reference to last week's show. Being bad is why I love them. B is the best entertainment. Made my hubby watch Hellraiser the other day. Yeah.
All right, though, but there's one thing. I think she's referring to
Leonard
Leonard
Part
Part
Six, yeah.
6. That was Bill Cosby. If it was, say, Carrot Top, there's more leeway for misses.
I see.
And yeah, man, it was like watching Babe Ruth strike out, like go 0 for 6, do a Deion Sanders or whatever.
Well, but then again, and again, I liked the movie, but even taking it from your perspective, this was Cosby in the late 80s. What was he really doing that was good?
Well, yeah, but he had, he had the biggest show on television
Well,
at the
but
time.
as we said, it wasn't good.
Really, though we didn't like it and don't think it's good, it's still the pinnacle of his career.
True. This is true.
I
Okay.
mean, it wasn't himself.
Yeah.
That was a masterpiece, of course. Doesn't really, it's not really a mainstream thing, I think.
Yeah.
But geeks like us fucking love it
Yeah.
and would watch it right now if,
Of
we
course.
didn't. We didn't have this awesome episode to do.
As far as I know, the only time he's ever cursed on camera, or while
Yeah.
working.
Yeah, I think so.
And this is from John Phillips, also on the Facebook page, also in reference to last week's show. Potential for an Adam Sandler film? Really? You're joking, right?
Just John Phillips, mark my words. Sean Connery saying we must go to the gumdrop forest.
If Connery is in it, that'll definitely be worth it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, there's no question about it.
And he also said, Fred Thompson you're thinking of, Scotto.
Why would you know what?
I don't know what you said. I thought you said Fred Thompson,
I thought I did too. In fact, I had some trouble listening to last week's episode, and for some reason it kind of crapped out on me after 15, 16 minutes of it, so I did not get to hear
I will
what I
have to check
said.
that out. Well, Joni and John both responded to it, so
Right, right,
the
right.
file's okay, but I'll check it out. Okay, then we've got some news. This is from CinemaBlend. Twisted Metal movie in development from Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance co-director.
Oh, that's quality.
Deadline reports that Ghost Line Spirit of Vengeance director Brian Taylor has been hired by Sony Pictures to write and direct a film based on the Twisted Metal video game series. The project will be the first that Taylor will be tackling alone, as he typically works with writer-director Mark Neveldine. The movie will be set in the world of the underground demolition derby, where cars are outfitted with dangerous weapons that the drivers can use against their opponents. At the head over it all is a puppet master named Calypso, who organizes the events to learn about the human condition. The winner of the derby will get any wish granted. I haven't played the games, have you?
Yes, I
As
remember the game.
I understand it, you never get out of the car, and it's basically just kill the other cars.
Oh yeah, although
There's no
yeah,
story. I
it was
think
a lot of fun.
they oh it sounds great. But as I understand, they attempted a story in the previous version, and in the latest version have decided to remove it because nobody cared. Kind of
Right.
like Mortal Kombat. You know,
Right.
the story in Mortal Kombat was, at least in the first one, round one fight. That's all you needed to know.
Yes, that was the story of Mortal Kombat, round one fight.
So, again, a great game, as I'm sure Twisted Metal is.
Yeah.
Doesn't exactly translate to a movie.
No.
And of course, they can't do that as a movie, so they're going to have to try to wrap some hideous story around it, like they did with Mortal Kombat.
It almost sounds like the story of Inspector Gadget, though, with, like, was it Professor Chaos or the Claw or whatever?
It's going to be the story of how he got all these elite drivers together for this competition, kind of
This
like Mortal Kombat.
dumbass underground demolition derby, as if, they there's no such thing as above ground demolition derby.
And it's the guy who did Ghost Rider Working Alone.
Hopefully they get Nicolas Cage to do this. I think, yeah.
And you bring up Nicolas Cage. I don't have another regular news story, but I've been posting a few things on the Facebook page and the Google Plus page that I wanted to mention. One of them involves Nick Cage. There's a story from, I believe it was CinemaBlend, titled "Nick Cage, God of Acting," which was interesting. It
Of course.
basically, we pointed out that, he only does something that we like every 20 years or so.
Yeah.
But it kind of shows appreciation for his bad work, and all of the bad movies he makes. Great article. Also, we have a teaser trailer for Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, finally. Have you seen it?
I was trying not to.
Oh, it looks good.
Yeah.
It looks beautiful. Really well done graphics, or I should say special effects. Still thinking games.
Okay.
And it looks really well made, and then with this concept, as long as they don't take it too seriously and they throw in some good one-liners, I think it'll be a masterpiece.
And if they play a game of catch, like 6 feet away from each other,
Getting
in
to
tuxes.
that.
Okay. I can't
Couple
wait.
more things.
All right.
Apparently, the artist swept the BAFTAs, which is kind of gives you an edge in the Oscar picks.
I called it.
And last thing, there's a remake of a Nicholas Winding Refn movie called The Pusher being made. We have an article about it in the trailer. Only reason I bring it up, it stars Richard Coyle. Coyle has gotten a lead role.
Nice.
On to this week's movie, which is from 2003, The Room, also known as Tommy Wiseau's The Room.
Of course.
And of course, the impromptu plot summary.
It's like Bram Stoker's Dracula or William Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet.
I never thought I'd say this, but worse. In both cases.
Oh boy.
The impromptu plot summary.
Sponsored by Blow. Anything would have improved this movie. Even Blow.
And by writers and actors. For fuck's sake, when you're making a movie, hire writers and actors.
Or you just throw in some sonar. I think that would have even improved this too, now that you mention it. All right, so where to begin with this little shindig? We have this God honest, hard-working banker who has a pretty well wife to be, I think it is that
Future
they
wife.
term it. Future wife, yes, because apparently we don't use the word fiance anymore. I don't know, maybe this was set in the future or something, and they're like cyborgs that came down and they were pretending to be people, but
Would explain a lot.
it would actually that maybe those scenes were just cut, and that's why we don't understand. We have this hard worker. He's trying to get ahead at this bank that he works at, due for a promotion. There's all sorts of these crazy side plots that kind of get mentioned but don't go anywhere. The main plot is, of course, though, that his w future wife, as some of my coworkers in my part-time job would characterize, she a hoe. And that's actually a direct quote from some of my coworkers, actually, that I'm working on the evenings and weekends with. She a hoe. And then I'd add in for show. Anyway, she decides she's bored with this relationship that she's in, and has an affair with anybody. Who could she have an affair with? Why, I know, his best friend, who happens to be about 30 years younger than him as well. Yeah, actually, I forgot to mention that his future wife is about half his age.
Yes.
Yeah. And let's see. They have this affair. They somehow, well, he seems to know about it, but doesn't say anything about it for a while. And then it's when it's flaunted in front of him is when he loses it. And then they just say, it was almost like watching that South Park episode with Radiohead,
Yes.
where that,
When
the Major Eat Your Parents episode,
yes, when
the
Scott was his name Scott, I think.
yeah, it was Scott something must die.
When he finally loses it at the end, yeah.
Yeah, and the Made You Eat Your Parents line, and his favorite band Radiohead is saying, "Oh, he's just a whiny little bitch." And yeah, they pretty much just leave him, and hilarity really does ensue.
Absolutely. Now, this has been dubbed the Citizen Kane of bad movies and one of the worst films ever made, and I absolutely agree.
We've heard that for so many movies
Yes,
that we've
yes.
done in the past. Think about it. When we did the trilogy of bombs, when we've done the trilogies of shit. So we've heard that for at least eight movies,
Yeah.
other movies that we've done. And
This
we've
is
given
the
them
first to
all the
live up
benefit
to
of the
it.
doubt. This lives up to it. Yeah,
Absolutely.
Troll 2, that's nine movies that claim to be the worst. This is definitely the Citizen Kane of bad movies.
And as a result, it has actually gained quite a cult following as a midnight movie, and I would love to see this at a midnight showing.
It is, and I'm just going to lay it out here. It is probably one of the funniest movies
Yes.
I've seen in a long time.
If you're looking for the horribly bad movie that you can just kick back and laugh at as it fails at every turn, this is your movie.
The only parts I did not really like about the movie were, or I should say, didn't enjoy about the movie, were the parts where he was trying to insert comedy relief into
Yeah,
it.
yeah.
Those parts fell flat.
I laughed at those because it was, again, it failed. So I find that amusing.
It was the points where he was trying to put the drama and high art into it
Yeah.
that are simply hilarious.
As I have in my notes, this movie reminds me of why I love bad movies. Because I thought I was losing my tolerance, and my standards were going up and whatnot, and this just brought me back to this is why I love bad movies. This is why I do this show.
And honestly, and I'll just give it away, the spoiler at the end, because I ha because we have to, I have to, we have to talk about this. And I think even talking about up front, the suicide scene at the end, I have in my notes, it's Life of Brian space alien funny.
Yes,
It's
yes.
I fucking had to pause the movie. I was laughing so hard because the dude blows his brains out. I mean, fucking paints the ceiling. The ex and best friend come in
Yeah.
and they say, "Wake up, Johnny, come
Yeah,
on." And is he dead?
yep.
Imagine if someone fucking blew their brains out of the room and you have bits and pieces of brain
Yeah.
everywhere.
The exit wound, well, you don't actually see an exit wound or the bits of blood, but you
No.
see, the gun lying next to him, all of the blood stained, everything under his head is, covered in blood. It's kind
Right.
of obvious.
And, I mean, yeah, Life of Brian, space alien buddy. The line, "Don't look, Danny." And then, of course, I'm thinking, you might not see any blood if you did.
And speaking of Denny, I think it was Denny, not Danny.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right.
What exactly was the nature of that relationship? Because they say that he's kind of their, surrogate kid, so to speak.
Yeah.
But, he said he likes to watch. He basically bursts into their bedroom as they're about to, get together, and says he likes to watch them. And him and Johnny, Wiseau's character, there's a lot of sexual tension going on there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. between all three of them, really. It's very bizarre. You see, from the very beginning, it's quite obvious this is pretty much your run-of-the-mill Cinemax movie. The what separates it from that, why we're not just laughing at a Cinemax movie instead, was because the Cinemax movie knows what it is. This, the guy really thought he was making this
Well,
grand artistic statement.
that begs a bit of a question. First off, I'm completely with you on the Cinemax. The sets, the whole the camera work, everything very Cinemax. Not as much sex and nudity, although
Right.
the sex scenes were a little, they were kind of awkwardly long and kind of explicit for it not being a softcore movie. Weird, kind of this awkward middle ground. But the question I was getting to. Now, the trailer claims that this is a black comedy.
Right.
There is nothing in it, on the face of it, that is comedic, aside from those rare moments that didn't work.
Well, right, he put these scenes in there. This is what I'm thinking, at least, because I read this afterwards that, he said it was a black comedy. Those quirky scenes with, like, the best friend coming in and having sex and then forgetting, getting caught pretty much by this chick's mom who just always pops over for like a couple lines of dialogue, and then the I don't want to talk about it, and then sends her away. Yeah, I think those scenes in it were supposed to be the comedy, the comedic relief. This is just speculation, of course.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe the whole thing was intentionally this bad, and that's the comedy.
I think he's tried to say
Okay,
that.
yeah, probably to save face.
Realizing how many people find this movie hilarious.
And you mentioned the mother. Was it just me, or did every scene she was in threaten to turn into a feminine hygiene commercial?
Well, no, they all ended so abruptly.
No,
She
but
would come over.
just her whole style of acting and the tone of every scene she's in, it looked like that.
I mean, I can't fault any other cast member in here for delivering a bad performance, even though they are delivering bad performances. It's this guy, Wisu, is it
Wazow.
Wizu, Wizow?
Whatever.
Good God!
Actually, I think the only good performance was the drug dealer who was in it for all of 5 seconds. Him I bought.
Well, yeah, I barely noticed him,
Well,
but
it was just give me my fucking money, put the gun to Denny's head.
yeah.
That was pretty much the performance. But I bought it.
I thought the one friend wasn't that bad. Peter, I think his name
Interesting
is.
story about him. Bit of
Yeah, I just
trivia.
saw that too.
He left the movie due to creative differences midway through. In fact, his last line is, "That's it, I'm out of here." And there's an actor who shows up randomly at the end. You've never seen the guy before, who basically tries to lay the guilt trip on the future wife and the best friend. Those
Right.
lines were intended for Peter.
And it's obvious that they were, and that's really funny too, because I'm just like, who the
It didn't faze me that much after, let's go outside, everybody. Randomly in the middle of a party, and then, well, come on back in, everybody.
is this dude?
And just some of the entrances and exits, they're just so random.
The scene where they're in tuxes,
Throwing the football around, yes.
well, not even just that, just the whole, like, the doorbell rings, one of them comes in, and then right after it, the doorbell rings, and the kid that plays Denny is cracking up.
Oh, there
He's
were a
just.
couple of points where actors, Mark at one point looked like he was going to crack up when she's trying to seduce him the first time.
Well,
He
that's the
looked
other
like
thing
he was
too.
holding back a laugh.
The dialogue is just like, well, Denny actually lost it, I think, in that scene, because it was just that absurd where, like, oh, look, because he's even trying to make light of it. Somebody else is here now. Because they just kept coming in at like the certain interval. But the
And when Mark showed up and they're all talking about how good he looks, it almost felt like an orgy was about to break out.
Right. But yeah, the seduction scenes of the best friend of Mark, are just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what our intro line was for the episode, because it was just like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Like, she sits on his lap, and he's just, oh.
And he's constantly resisting until suddenly changes his mind very quickly.
And then does the, he's a whiny little bitch. No, he doesn't actually say that, but
But
that's all I could think of was
yeah.
Radiohead on South Park at the end. And how about the magic tape?
Oh yeah.
I know we're going completely out of
Oh yeah.
random things here.
At one point, Johnny said he starts getting suspicious, and he says he's going to record them. He bug his phone, basically.
Yeah.
Nothing else is said about it until he walks in and he has confirmation. He's caught them red-handed. Then he pulls out the tape.
Right. And it's somehow cued all by itself too,
Yeah.
which I'm not sure how that works. And it was like a 20, I don't know, it looked like your standard 90 minute tape. How is this thing running? But if there's a bad performance we have to talk about, we have to talk about Wissow.
Wizzo.
Wissow.
Yeah, oh yeah. Imagine Arnie Schwarzenegger, of course. Early
I
80s reading off of a script, like a
Oh my
cold read.
God. I actually have it here. I think Schwarzenegger was a better actor.
Well, in his actual roles, yes, but I'm saying Schwarzenegger, like first time he's seen the script.
Oh.
He's still on book. He's never read the lines before. That's what Wiseau's performance was like.
Because I'm thinking Schwarzenegger, I've seen like Hercules in New York when he didn't even speak English and he was just overdubbed.
Right.
Better performance than this. And you know why? Because he could keep his fucking eyes open.
Yeah.
What the hell? This guy, more than half the movie, is he, his eyes are either shut or just kind of squinting,
Right.
or I mean, was he on something when he was doing this?
Writing it and everything, I'm sure.
Well, right. He's just imagine someone just delivering these monologues with his eyes shut. The funniest one was it was I think it was either the coffee place or the flower shop where he walks in and they're like, oh, I didn't recognize you. It's like, what? Do you have Gene Simmons come in often at this place? I mean, what? Does Billy Crystal with the wig shop here often? What the fuck? He didn't recognize him. This dude, I mean, with his shoe polish black hair, I mean, just like weird.
Now this is interesting in reference to, his Wiseau's lack of ability to do just about anything on this movie.
Yeah.
In a February 14th, 2011 Entertainment Weekly article, veteran script supervisor Sandy Sklar, or Sklar, I'm sorry, announced that he now desires credit for directing The Room. Basically, he said that, Wiseau was so worried about his acting and so involved in that, he basically had Sklar direct most of the movie.
Do you really want to take credit for
That's
this?
my question, because he claims this, and some of the cast back him up and verify it, but why would you even want credit for that? And I'm thinking it's two th it was well, about a year ago. It was Valentine's Day of last year when the article came out,
Yeah.
when it already had become somewhat of a success. So he's looking to make some money off of it. At the time, he didn't want probably didn't even want his name in a script supervisor.
Oh, of course.
The movie have some success, albeit for the wrong reasons. And now he's thinking, okay, I want some of that.
But this is what Wet Hot American Summer was trying to do.
Yes, exactly. Oh God, yes. Which is why I'm wondering if it was intentional. I
Oh,
mean, 'cause
no.
there are moments in the coffee shop scene again. Johnny just randomly asks Mark, "How's your sex life?" Out of nowhere.
Well, there's a lot, there's all sorts of things that, that are just pulled from out of nowhere. I mean, this is the absurdest
Yeah,
comedy that Leonard Part 6 is trying
this
to
is
do.
non sequitur the movie.
I mean, someone has breast cancer.
Yeah.
Just they mention this one, two lines in the movie, never addressed again. the drug dealer thing.
And she delivers that line awfully lightly.
Oh yeah, completely.
I just noticed in my notes in reference to the final scene when he, not the final, before he dies, when he's tearing the house apart.
Yeah.
You mentioned South Park. Kind of reminded me of Young Frankenstein.
He
When the
does have a
monster
very
loses it, yeah.
he does have a very Frankensteinian delivery of things.
Yes.
You really, I did spend half this movie looking for the bolts outside of his deck. That's why I don't think this was intentionally bad. He's just a bad actor, director, and writer.
Oh, yes.
But he thinks he's good. This whole misogynistic script, he thinks he's putting the Cinemax format into a high art. And that's what makes this. If this were intentionally funny, you would have more of those, music cues that this
Right.
is a funny scene.
There was no wink. There, like in Sharktopus, the Wilhelms, or in the song after the Redneck buys it in Thanksgiving.
Right.
There are moments in those movies that just tell you we're doing this intentionally. This has none of that.
There are those scenes where he's trying to put the comedy relief in there, and you see him trying to be funny. Like he's putting the musical cues that they're supposed to be comedic scenes, like they're playing football in their tuxes. Though why they're in the tuxes, no one knows.
I think maybe, wait. The wedding was a ways off, so they wouldn't have been dressed for that.
Right.
It wasn't as if they just bought them.
Right.
I didn't even connect that at the time. There's no reason they were in the tuxes.
No, I mean, if you're getting a tux for a wedding, you're usually renting it,
Yeah.
and you're usually trying it on at the store.
Right.
Even if you're buying it, you're just trying it on at the store. You're not going to wear it around this dude's house.
I didn't think of it at the time, and I think it I was I think in my head they were getting ready for the wedding, but then I realized no. Now that you mention it, I'm
Well, right.
realizing that was a ways off.
When you first see the scene, you think they're getting ready for the wedding. And then they go and play football, and then that's it. They go and they just leave.
I never use, or very rarely use this word, but the best way I can describe the writing in this, inscrutable. It makes no sense.
This is how I summarize this movie. If you ever wondered what it would have been like if Cinemax had made one of those ABC after school specials,
Yes.
this is it.
Yeah.
And by God, it needed to have been done.
Oh, absolutely.
Mean, this made me actually think about the structure, the plot structure of porn
Yeah.
movies and the similarities between porn and kung fu movies. You have either, depending on which one you're watching, a fight or fuck scene.
Yeah. Well, that was my joke when the Mortal Kombat movie came out, was they just took
Right.
a porn script and every time it said they fuck, they changed it to they fight.
Right, exactly. And even, like the love scenes were of that nature, unless the angles are just off, if you know what I mean.
Well, the angle, they're actually very similar to softcore movies, which is what
Right.
was awkward about them because it wasn't full
Unless,
on
of course,
softcore, but it wasn't like a normal movie.
unless, of course, he really was trying to fuck her belly button,
Yeah,
which is entirely possible. You never know.
yeah.
Maybe that's why she was so bored with the relationship. Who knows?
Oh, a little further evidence to your theory that he's just that incompetent.
Yeah.
It was shot simultaneously on 35mm film and high definition video. Tommy Wiseau was confused about the differences between the formats, so he used both cameras on the same mount. He also purchased the cameras instead of renting them, as film productions usually do.
And there is something visually weird about the movie. It does look like your typical Cinemax movie in some shots. Other shots, it looks like Empire Strikes Back green screen, like when they're on the rooftop.
Probably that's the HD stuff.
Yeah, it was very weird how
Yeah.
the movie flowed visually.
Oh, and the opening theme music, which is repeated throughout the movie.
You know what I have in
Didn't
my notes?
okay.
Why does the intro music sound like we're about to watch the greatest story ever told?
It just seemed to me to like some cheesy B-grade fantasy movie.
And then, you know, Moses came down
Yeah.
and said, "This is a shitty movie."
Okay, sequels and remakes, obviously there's not going to be any of
Only if he's
either.
walking around like a dude in Beetlejuice with
Well,
like a
that's,
hole in the back of
I
his
mean, yeah,
head.
he dies in the movie. No one's going to remake it. No one should remake it because it's damn near perfect as is.
You know what? It could be like Stardust, where he's kind of the ghost of him is
Yeah,
hanging out watching
exactly what I want. I
with his
want
eyes closed.
a sequel where he comes back as a ghost and haunts them.
Oh boy.
So I guess that brings us to Brains.
I'm just trying to make sure I got all my notes in. There's just so much that went on with this movie. Little things like, oh, when he, you know, I heard you, they were like 4 feet away.
Yeah. Or the fact that she's telling everybody about the affair.
Right. And what was it with just the space of scenes, you know, where he's saying something and they're like 4 feet away or they're playing catch up close like that? Why couldn't he actually have a mic on each person?
Right. Well,
Is that what it was?
I'm
Did he
guessing
only
it
have
was
one
money.
mic? Did he buy two cameras of different formats and only had
Yeah.
one mic?
First scene, probably, yeah.
Oh boy, yeah.
So, Brains.
I gotta go with Four Brains on this because it is. The only thing I'm taking off from it is well,
The
I was
attempt
thinking.
at comedy, yeah.
The attempts at comedy that are just
Yeah.
there's probably the worst some of the worst exposition given too with the whole you know, how did they meet and the mother-daughter scenes.
Right.
I almost took off another half a brain for, you know, old man ass, but oh, we didn't mention we didn't see old man ass.
Yeah.
The first love scene and the second love scene. It's recycled footage.
Oh yeah, there's a couple of there's a lot of recycled footage between the love scenes, yeah.
Well, I mean, of course, you know, the shots of San Francisco, you can get away with
Well,
recycling
no, I
those.
mean the establishing shots were completely recycled. But
Right,
I
right.
mean during the love scenes there was footage that was repeated.
Right. Like he
I think that didn't really strike me because they do that a lot in softcore, so.
Yeah, but this was supposed to be something different from that.
But I think that's why but those scenes looked like that, so it didn't strike me as odd.
And actually, no, wait a minute. Even in softcore, that's the whole point of the movie. You wouldn't recycle that.
There are a lot of shots that are used twice.
All right. Well, as long as it involves a monkey, it's
Not
okay.
in separate scenes like they did in this case, which was interesting.
Or a
But
chin.
yeah, the comedy didn't, or the attempts at comedy didn't really bother me as much as they bothered you. So I'm gonna go just a little higher. I can't in good conscience go 5, but I am gonna go 4.5. I just can't give a bad movie a 5. I don't know why. But yeah, if you want the so bad it's good movie, this is the movie.
Right,
There can be no other.
and of course, again, I'll bring up the archetypical bad movie of Troll 2. The reason why I did not enjoy that as much was because he was attempting humor at a lot of it there, and
Right.
just, you know, the whole vegetarian
Yeah.
thing. It was very contrived, and he was trying much too hard to be funny.
Right.
Whereas this guy, you can tell he really thinks he's making a great film, that these are statements that no one's thought of before. And it's that in itself is funny as
Oh,
hell.
yeah. This is, as I've always said, the reason I love bad movies, and it's a bit of a sadistic thing, I love to see a movie fail at every turn. And this does it. This is, you know, they say Troll 2 is the best worst movie. No, This is.
This is truly the Citizen Kane of bad movies, yeah.
So, what have we learned?
Wow. What have we learned from this? That she a hoe.
I learned that I randomly need to throw around a football more. So, until next week, when we will be reviewing Evolution. Go to
Oh, wow.
zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode descriptions, links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus, the movie list, which will have, barring future substitutions, everything we're doing up the next month or so.
We
Also,
will
you
we'll gladly do Carrot Top and the next time we do a trilogy of shit. And there will definitely be another trilogy of shit. As long as there is a Pluto Nash out there will be another trilogy of shit.
I don't know if we mentioned we had to make the substitution because we had trouble finding chairman of the board.
Yeah.
You can also suggest a movie. Of course, as we've said before, we will gladly do suggested movies before the ones that we'd planned to do. You can also email us at zombietakeout@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail 414-368-ZTO1 or for the alphanumerically challenged 414-368-9861. Of course, always remember that you will always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee. So, until next week, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you
There
are.
you are.
You don't understand anything, man. Leave your stupid comments in your pocket.
I just realized I left out a good bit of trivia. He apparently explained why it's called The Room.
Yeah, why the fuck was it called The Room?
In a Q&A for the DVD release, he said the title The Room is meant to evoke a safe place for viewers. I think that depends on what you're doing in the room. And he also, in response to why is everyone playing football in tuxedos and standing only 3 feet apart, he says, he doesn't answer except to say that football is fun and that playing it without protective gear is a challenge.
Ah, that's the black comedy.
Yeah, that's
The dark comedy.
Wizzo's incompetence.
Yeah.